Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Well, as you probably know, the Apostle Paul was beset by critics, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he's answering the charges of his critics. The charges that he was not an authentic apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he answers that in verses 1, 2, and 3, the evidence of his authenticity. Well, said some of his critics, he's not really capable as a minister. He doesn't really have the capability to carry out an effective ministry, and so Paul answers that charge, similar to the first one. There's a bit of overlapping there, but there's some differences involved, and Paul answers that charge in verses 4, 5, and 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And that's what we're dealing with right now. And the first answer to that second charge about his capability is that Paul is certain that he is capable of carrying out the ministry because he is certain that he has been called of God to ministry. If God called him, and could he have any question about that after his Damascus Road experience? If God has called him, then God has made him capable. God has made him able. The one who calls is the one who enables. The one who calls is the one who will give the person that he has called everything that is needed to carry out that call. Does that really need to be explained? Does it need to be defended? Or is that not obvious? Whoever God calls to a particular task, God also equips for that particular task. And so Paul was confident of his capability to perform the duties of an apostle of Jesus Christ because he was confident that he had been called of God to do that. And if God called him to do it, then God certainly has made him capable to do that. It's pretty simple logic, but it's very important. And that's what we discussed on the broadcast last week, and yesterday, and we're going to go on from there today on this Thursday, October 6th. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for helping me financially to keep this broadcast aired on this station. Verse 4 is the one that deals with this matter of divine appointment when Paul says, "And we have such trust through Christ toward God." He's talking about his divine appointment. We have such trust, such confidence in what we are doing. We have such confidence because of Christ's call upon our life, and that's the evidence of God's call and God's enabling, what I just explained. And that's condensed in the statement of verse 4 that I just read. That's what Paul is saying. Quite often, I will get communications from missionaries, and sometimes we call them missionary candidates if they haven't actually served on the field yet, who are seeking support. That in among independent churches, that's the way missionaries are supported. They appeal to various churches to support them, to put them in their missions budget and support them, and they raise their support church by church and some, and in some cases, from individuals who are willing to support them until they have the money necessary to do their work on the field. An amount is usually appointed to them by the sending organization, whether it be their local church that acts in that capacity, or whether the local church has asked a mission board, a mission agency, to act in that capacity on their behalf. It works the same either way. There will be someone that will sit down with the missionary and go through the things that are necessary for them to do the work of missions on their particular field. You're going to such a country, and we've got statistics, we've got information there about the cost of living in that country. It's going to cost you approximately so many dollars to rent a house, and your food is going to cost you such and such. All of these things can be known. All of those statistics are available. And so a budget is figured out. You need to plan for transportation. You need to plan for insurance. You need to plan for furlough expenses, so you'll have money saved up for when it comes time to travel back to the States, and some emergency fund in case you find yourself having to come back quickly. Sometimes there's a military coup on the field and you've got to get out of there in a hurry, and you better have some funds on hand to be able to do that, or you better, sometimes you'll get sick and you'll need medical attention that's not available on the field where you are, and you've got to get back to America fast. You're going to have some funds laid aside for those kind of emergencies. And on it goes all the way through a budget until everything is figured out, and then the sending organization will say, you need to raise X number of dollars in order to be able to carry out an effective ministry on this field. The amount that is assigned for this field will differ from the amount that is assigned for a different field with a different economic conditions. And so now the missionary knows how much they need to raise. In fact, many times the sending agency will not approve them for departure until they have reached that amount or have come very close to it. Some sending agencies have different policies. Some will say when you have raised 90% of your support and have some other churches that are seriously considering adding you, will let you go. We'll assume that at least some of those other churches that have shown an interest in your ministry are going to come through. Sometimes it takes several months. Sometimes it takes a long time for a church to be able to add a missionary to their budget. But anyway, whatever the policy is, when you reach this amount, you can go. Now, what am I getting at with this long explanation? Well, I get lots of communications from missionaries that I don't know, and it's impossible that our church can support them all. We do support a good many. We have certain things that we look for as a criterion for the missionaries that we support. We get contacts from missionaries, many of whom clearly do not meet our criteria, even without a further investigation, but in some cases there would seem to be some possibility of supporting them, and we investigate further. And here's where I'm getting to. Sometimes it becomes my responsibility to write back to this missionary and say, I'm sorry, we are not going to be able to support you, but I'm confident that the one who has called you will provide for you to go. I say that, or similar words, quite frequently. If God has called you, He will provide. If God has called you, then He will provide. I'm sorry that we can't be part of that provision, but if God has called you, He will provide. Don't be discouraged. Not every church is in a position to be able to add another missionary and another missionary. Sometimes we get multiple requests in a week. And, I mean, obviously that's not possible. But many times my heart goes out to the missionary. I wish we could support you. You have a wonderful testimony, a wonderful presentation. Your credentials look excellent, but I'm sorry, it's not possible that we can support you at this time, but please know that if God has called you, He will provide. That, in essence, is what Paul is saying here in 2 Corinthians 3, 4, about ministerial capability. He's capable of doing the job because God has called him to a particular job, namely to serve as an apostle of Jesus Christ, and therefore God is going to provide everything that's necessary for him to carry out this divine assignment. Now, if Paul has gone on a whim, if Paul has, as it were, called himself, there is no such promise. Not everyone who's in ministry has been called of God. Some are there because their parents wanted it so much and just persuaded them that they must go into the ministry. They've been called by their parents but haven't been called by God. Some are in ministry because their pastor or church was just sure that they needed to be in ministry. They've been called by a church, they've been called by a pastor, but not by God. But if God has genuinely called someone, then God's going to provide everything that is necessary for them to fulfill their divine call. It's as simple as that. So there's the capability of divine appointment, verse 4. There's the capability of divine power, verse 5. Not, says Paul, that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Paul isn't confident in his ability. Paul isn't confident in his resources. Paul isn't confident in his determination. Paul is confident in the power of God. Similar to the call, but now the power of God. God is the one who makes us sufficient. Let me read verse 5 again. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. I am immediately suspicious of someone who demonstrates strong assurance in their own abilities and capabilities. Sometimes people like that come across strong and are very impressive to other people who are not wise, who are not spiritually minded, and fail to realize that may be evidence that that person has not been called of God because they're trusting in themselves. They may have great abilities and powers, but the question is not, are they sufficient? Do they have certain gifts? Do they have the power of persuasion? Do they have a likable personality? The question is, have they been called of God, and therefore God is going to empower them? Not that we are sufficient of ourselves, said Paul in verse 5, to think anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Sounds like what Jesus said to his apostles when he said, without me, you can do nothing. We miss that sometimes, or we act as if that's not in the Bible. We act as if, well, without Christ, we can do something. We can do some things. We can do at least a little bit, if not everything, but that's not what the Scripture says. Anything of any lasting value, spiritual value, eternal value, anything that will truly benefit the kingdom of Christ and the souls of men can only come from the empowering of God. Without me, said Jesus, you can do nothing. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.